Now, my question is, what was the most important thing you learned in the second half of the morning? What one action idea did you come up with? Remember, we don't want to say tomorrow, boy, we sure went to a good seminar. We want to say tomorrow, this is what I am going to do specifically as a result of this seminar. So what one thing are you going to do specifically as a result of this seminar? Please write it down in the action commitment for the last session. And if you can't think of anything, we have counselors standing by. The American Management Association completed a study recently which corroborates every study that's ever been done on the subject for 50 years, looking into the single quality or characteristic that seems to characterize the most successful and most rapidly promoted and highest paid people, and the one quality of leadership that is indispensable, and it's action orientation. They're intensely action oriented. And surprise, 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 learned helplessness paralyzes action. Self-esteem unleashes action. Self-esteem and self-responsibility lead spontaneously to doing things. That's why it's so important that you make commitments to action, that you write something down and you make a decision that, by gum, I'm going to do something in this area. And then you do it. Now, what happens if you make a promise to me or a promise in general to do something and you don't do it? Who are you lying to? That's right. Now, what happens to a person if they lie to themselves? They can't keep their word to themselves. They can't remain true, just even to themselves. What happens to their self-esteem? It goes down. What happens when a person makes a promise to themselves that, by gum, tomorrow morning I'm going to get up at 6 o'clock and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, and then they get up and they do it? How do they think they feel?
Great.
Feel great about themselves. Here's the interesting thing. When you do something like that, when you fulfill a commitment to yourself, when you complete an important task, it gives you a jolt of energy. It gives you an endorphin rush. It raises your self-esteem. What happens if you take a drug over and over again and you start to really like the drug and you take it over and over again? You develop what? An addiction. Now, there's two types of addiction. There's a negative addiction to alcohol, serious narcotics, and so on. But there's what William Glasser has called a positive addiction. Runners get a positive addiction. It's called a runner's high. Vigorous aerobic activity actually releases endorphins, so at the end of a run, the person feels not only physically fitter, but they feel high. They feel happy. They feel more creative. They feel more personable. They feel more cheerful. It's a most remarkable experience that you have after exercising. Well, if you set a goal for yourself and make a plan and take an action and do what you said you would do, it gives you a rush. And you like this rush. This feels good. And so what will happen is you'll do it again, and you get another rush. And you'll do it again, and you get another rush. And you start to get addicted, what Glasser called the positive addiction. And this positive addiction is you start to organize your life so that you are getting these little hits on a regular basis. When you work on low-value, irrelevant tasks or go around in circles in your life, what do you get? Nothing. Depressed, tired, fatigued, stressed, and so on. When you work on really important things that are moving you rapidly towards your goals, what do you get? Hits. So what you do, and people say, well, how do you keep yourself motivated? But you say to yourself, well, that's a dumb question. The very way I live my life, I'm motivated. Because I'm doing the things I enjoy doing with the people I enjoy doing them with, and I'm doing important things, and I'm staying with them till they're done. So my whole life is a series of rushes. So I am positively addicted to happiness, health, success, achievement, and good relationships, because every time I engage in them, I get a positive feedback or positive hit, which makes me want to do more of them. Drucker discovered this 50 years ago. The great motivation for people coming to this country from other countries is not just to make money, although that goes along with it. It's achievement, because achievement is such a high. It gives you such a feeling of fulfilling your potential. So everything we talk about is to do it, but the critical thing is the action. If you do the action, you get the reaction. If you do get the reaction, you get the buzz. If you get the buzz, it predisposes you to doing the same thing again until it becomes automatic. And when you make it automatic, where you write your goals and set your priorities and work on your plans and complete your tasks, when you make that automatic, you know what happens? Is, woo, you get on a roll, and you just roll, baby. You will accomplish more and enjoy it more than you can imagine. You escape from this feeling of learned helplessness. You escape from this feeling of the comfort zone, this tendency toward the comfort zone. You feel unstoppable. Right?
Right.
All right. Part four, time empowerment. Part four, are you ready? Part four, your highest, most dependable source of cash flow is your earning ability. Your ability to earn money is the same as a huge factory that produces products and services that are then sold, and the profit is generated back to the owners. And in the old days, you needed land, labor, capital, fixtures, furniture, raw materials. Today, all you need is brains. Your ability to earn, your ability to apply your mind to your world can generate tens of thousands of dollars a year into your life. You can enjoy the highest standard of living ever imagined in the history of man on this earth by just applying your brains to your community. Isn't that incredible? Your earning ability has taken you your whole life to develop. All your education and experience, everything you've ever done has reached you to this point, brought you to this point. And most people here are at the peak of their earning ability, except for maybe next year and the year after. So, your earning ability is something you must be very careful about not taking for granted. We often take our earning ability for granted. We think it's kind of a general amorphous mass, but it's not. It's a very, very special quantity. Number two, your most precious resource, all you really have to sell is your time. In fact, all of your life is a trade. You start off in life with lots of time and no money. As you get older, you start to trade your time for money. And when you're 20s and 30s, you can look around at your current net worth and you can say, this is how well I've traded. The average family in America has a net worth of $35,000. That's when the parents are in their 30s and 40s. That's $35,000. So what they've done is they've traded the first 30 or 40 years of their life for about $1,000 a year. If I said, I'll give you $1,000 a year and I'll put you in jail, will you sit in jail for $1,000 a year? If I say, I'll tell you what, you work all year long at this job and I'll give you $1,000 extra at the end of the year, would you work for $1,000 extra above and beyond your cost of living and food and transportation? Most people are working, that's $83 a month. Think about that. People are working for $83 a month. That's what they're trading their lives for in terms of what they have left over. So your most precious resource is your time. Your ability to trade your time well determines the entire quality of your life. And don't ever think that somebody else is smarter than you. I'm going to give you an important point, two points. Point number one, which is metaphysical but true, is that you are a thoroughly good person. You are a thoroughly good person. Right down deep inside of your heart, you are a very, very good, kind, compassionate, generous, outstanding, excellent human being. Now that is a fact. If you have problems with the fact, it does not contradict the fact. That's the fact. The second part is that you're as good as anyone else. And the reverse of that is no one's better than you. And you must never think and never question that you are not a thoroughly good person. And you must never think that anyone is better than you. Some people may be ahead of you on some of the roads of life, but that's just because they made better choices and decisions than you. And maybe even they had better breaks than you. But no one is better than you. Bill Gates, who's worth $25 billion, is not better than you. Warren Buffett, who's worth, you know, $20 billion, not better than you. Nobody's better than you. They're different, but no one's better. Don't ever think that people are doing better than you because they are better than you. Those are two separate categories. Doing better is over here. If a person does neurosurgery, does that mean that person is better than you, or are they just better at neurosurgery? But they're not better than you. In terms of your quality as a person, because the person does neurosurgery means they're simply better at neurosurgery. But nobody's better than you. Okay, number three, is the best investment of your time and money? What is the best investment of your time and money? It's to increase your earning ability. It's to increase your earning ability. Sometimes we talk about saving time. Can you save time? No, all you can do is reallocate time. Time can only be spent. It cannot be saved. It can only be spent differently than you're spending it today, but it can't be saved because it passes in an inexorable fashion. As someone once said, time is God's way of making sure everything doesn't happen at once. Here's the important point, though. We talk about time-saving devices and time-saving ideas, and I teach time management all the time. So we say, well, you save a few minutes here and a few minutes there and 2 extra hours per day, all of which is eminently achievable. But what are the great wastes of time? What are the really great wastes of time?
Television.
Well, I'll tell you what the greatest... Television is a great waste of time on a day-to-day basis. I'll tell you the greatest waste of time. Number one, staying in a job that has no future for you and working at it for years. And there are many people who work at jobs for years when they burned out on the job years ago. There is no future in that job. They'll never be happy. They'll never be successful. They'll never be promoted. And they'll waste a decade or 2 decades in it. Number two is staying in a bad relationship where there's no future. No greater waste of time than staying year after year after year in a relationship that has no future. And many people do that. We've all done it because of a lot of reasons. We're afraid of failure. We're afraid of rejection, afraid of criticism, afraid of being alone, afraid of this and so on. And sooner or later, by the way, with the inevitability of life, we will find ourselves adrift. We will be out of the job or out of the relationship. And then we'll look back and say, oh my God, look at all the years I spent there when I could have walked away a long time ago. I'll tell you what the third great waste of time is. The third great waste of time is to make $25,000 a year for many, many years when you could be making $100 or $150 or $200 because you had not brought your earning ability up to that level. When the person to the left of you and the person to the right of you had done it, when the bookstores and the tape stores are full of instructions on how to do it and you didn't, that's really dumb. I mean, that's super stupid. I mean, that's beyond anybody in this room. I mean, it's people who didn't come. Number four is become an expert in time management. Remember we talked about relationships? Time is the same thing. Imagine, I used to think that here was me, and here was time, and time management was sort of like a planet that went around me as the sun. And every so often I thought more of it, and I thought less of it. I read a book, I read an article, bought a time planner, used it a couple of weeks, chucked it aside, you know, like you did. And then I realized that, wait a minute, time actually equals life. That we're not talking about time management, we're talking about life management. And that it behooves us not just to learn a few things on time management, but to become absolutely excellent at time management, very good at time management. Because if you're very good at time management, it means you're very good at running your life, the most precious thing you have in the whole world. And the wonderful thing is this, excellence at time management frees up and makes possible so many other things in your life. But if you're poor at time management, your whole life is catch-up ball. It's all scramble. So therefore, make a decision, and I'll pass on a little piece of advice to you that's been helpful to me. Many people have what we call the quick fix mentality. I have a problem, therefore I want a quick fix. I want a quick book, quick tape. I want one idea, and they'll solve all my problems that have taken me my whole life to develop. If I were to say to you, well, you're 30 pounds overweight, I've got a technique that'll help you lose that weight in 1 minute. Or how about lose that weight in 1 week or 1 hour or 1 book or 1 pamphlet or 1 technique? I get stuff all the time from people selling this snake oil that here's the fast, sneaky, different, new, unique way to accomplish extraordinary things. Don't be sucked in. Don't be an idiot. It takes you your whole life to get to this point. It takes you a little bit longer to get somewhere. So what I do when I decide to develop a skill, and I always have skills going on, is I start what is called a do-it-to-yourself project. Is I will say, okay, time management, I'm going to make 1997 the year of time management. And I'm going to start off, and I'm going to make a plan, it's my goal, and I'm going to pick a series of books and courses and tapes, and I am going to work all this year to become an expert in time management. I'm not going to try to do it instantly overnight in a week. I'm going to give myself a year, but I'm going to start on it immediately. I'm not going to procrastinate on the start, because if you procrastinate on the start, you can usually end up procrastinating on the whole year. And what you do is you just say, okay, and you give yourself a year. So I have one-year projects. Person says, I want to be really good in selling. What's the one thing I need to know? No, what you need to do is you need to read 5 to 10 books. A book a month will do. A book a week is better. You need to listen to the best audio programs. You need to take notes. You need to imagine that soon you will be writing your own book and teaching your own course. And you need to take everything that you think is worthwhile and you need to go out every day and practice it over and over again, 5, 10, 50, 100,000 times. At the end of a year, if you'll do this, Don't try to do it in a week or a month. At the end of a year, you will be 2 to 3 times further ahead of where you are today. You'll double or triple your income. And there's absolutely no doubt about that. I've given this advice to countless people. If you give yourself a year, don't try to change your whole world. Be patient. Patience, Henry Ford once said that the keys to business are patience and foresight, business success, and a man or woman who lacks patience is not cut out for success in business. It takes time. So say, okay, this is the year of time management. In the next 12 months, I'm going to become absolutely excellent at time management. Every day, I'm going to learn something about time management. I'm going to read every little article. I'm going to take a course. I'm going to discipline myself to run my life differently so that I become really good at it. And that will free up more time, more opportunities. I had a young man in Cleveland told me recently, he said, Brian, I bought your tape a year ago on time management, and my life was in a shambles, and I have 2 young kids, and I wasn't spending time at home. He said, this last year, he said, I tripled my income, I became the number one rookie in the state of Pennsylvania, and I doubled the amount of time I spend with my family. He said, it's absolutely wonderful. I did not believe that by practicing these proven methodologies, I could triple my results in one area and double the amount of time I spent with my family simultaneously. And I'm more relaxed and I'm enjoying it more than I did a year ago when my life was out of control. So just give yourself a try. Number 5 is the Pareto principle. The 80-20 rule applies to every aspect of selling. It applies to presentations. It applies to proposals, to telephone calls. And it says that 20% of what you do will account for 80% of your results. So therefore, you must always be concentrating on the 20% of your activities that have the potential to account for most of your results. I have worked with billion-dollar corporations, and I remember working with one of the richest men in the world, one of the stars in the Forbes 400. And after 2 or 3 days of work with him and his senior executive group, we looked at everything we talked about, and you know the conclusion that they all came to? That damn 80-20 rule, you know, got the most application to us. This is a multinational, multi-billion dollar, huge corporation, powerful people, and their conclusion was the 80-20 rule was that something they'd gotten away from too often. They had to get back to that 80-20 rule. And it is so powerful. People say, I've heard it 1,000 times before. Yes. Whenever a person says, I've heard that before, my question is, yes, but do you do it every day? Well, no, I don't do it, but I've heard about it before. So therefore, always be asking, is what I'm doing right now in the top 20% of the things I could be doing? Number 6 is the job description of a salesperson, the purpose of a company. And since you're running your own companies, what is the purpose of a company? Increase and maintain customer base. It's pretty darn accurate. The purpose of a business is to create and keep a customer. And since your sales business is your own business, your job is to create and keep customers as well. Your success and profits are the result of creating and keeping customers in a cost-effective way. So number 7, then, we say spend 80% of your time creating customers and spend only 20% of your time keeping customers. And don't mix them up. Mixing them up will kill you and kill your career as fast as anything else. I've spoken to many sales managers who tell me that this is what kills sales careers, is people start off doing really well creating customers because they don't have any customers, and once they have a few customers, their hope begin to shift. They spend more and more time going back and visiting their old customers and less time developing new customers. So you always have to be asking, where is my next sale coming from? Where is my next sale coming from? And if what you're doing right now is not the answer to that question, stop doing it and start doing something that is the answer. Number 8 is the work of a salesperson consists of 3 activities. And they are prospect, present, and follow up. Prospect, present, and follow up. We call this the sales funnel. You can write it in the margin there. The sales funnel says that there are 3 parts of the process. You have to keep your funnel full with prospects, and then there's a ratio. And the ratio, let us say the ratio is 20 to 5. You have to call 20 suspects to get 5 prospects. You have to see 5 prospects to get 2 follow-ups. You have to follow up 2 people to get 1 sale. And out of the bottom of your sales hopper, if you keep it full, comes sales. Prospect, present, and follow up. It's sort of like ballet. Prospect, present, and follow up. What do you do for a living? I prospect, present, and follow up. By the way, this has never changed. It's been true throughout all of history. And selling is the oldest profession. Some people think that something else is the oldest profession, but that's merely a subcategory of selling. And it also requires that you prospect, present, and follow up. So your job is to keep your hopper full. If you ever let the hopper go empty because you start spending all of your time down here on the follow-up, pretty soon you'll find yourself with an empty hopper, a 1 or 2 month starvation period, a sales slump, and you could be out of business. Biggest mistake we make is we spend all of our time on following up and not enough time on prospecting. So here's the rule. Spend 80% of your time prospecting and presenting. Spend only 20% of your time following up. And don't mix them up. Remember, follow-up is important. You must keep the plate spinning. But keep feeding new prospects into the hopper. Keep working on small, medium-sized, and large customers. Never become fixated on the one big customer that's going to come through and save you from the consequences of your own indolence and stupidity. What do we know about the one big customer that we hang all our hopes on? Never happens. They never come through. It's a perverse law of selling that if you hang all of your hopes on the big customer, they never come through. Number 10 is the average salesperson in our society works only 20% of the time. According to Columbia University, they work about 1.5 hours per day. Here's a good question for you. And some people, by the way, that means half work less and half work more. I've had many sales managers say, Brian, if you find someone who works that much, I'll hire them because that's more than the average at my place. Now, here's the question. When are you working? If you're in sales, when are you working? When you're in front of someone. When you are prospecting, presenting, and following up. And the key measure is FaceTime. How many hours a day do you spend in FaceTime? I will give you a very simple theory. I call it my minutes theory. This will enable you to double your income. It'll pay for the course. Okay, would you like my minutes theory? Say yes. No extra cost. The minutes theory says that you are earning all that you're earning today with the number of minutes that you spend today face-to-face with people in the course of a week. Right? I mean, that's what determines your income, the number of minutes you spend face-to-face with people who can and will buy. Right? So if you increase the number of minutes, what must you inevitably do? Increase your sales. So if the average person is spending about 90 minutes, an hour and a half, FaceTime per day, and you can double yours to 180 minutes or 3 hours FaceTime per day, what must happen to your income? It must double. If you do not change a single thing about your skills, ability, time management, personality, dress, hold constant for everything but increasing the number of minutes, your income must double. It'll do more than that, by the way, because the more you sell, the more you will sell. The more confident and positive and optimistic you'll be, the more energy and enthusiasm you'll have, the higher will be your self-esteem, the easier you will sell to more people in a shorter period of time. But if you just made a game of increasing the number of minutes that you spend face-to-face with customers, try to increase it by 10% per week. Let's say this week from 90 goes to 99 minutes, and from 99 minutes goes to 110, and so on. In 8 weeks, you can be up to double. You plan every minute of every day. You start a little bit earlier, and you work a little bit harder, and you stay a little later. You rearrange and plan your geography. You put your customers and cluster them together and so on so that you're spending less time traveling and downtime, more time face-to-face. A friend of mine named Frank Pacetta wrote a best-selling book called Don't Fire Them, Fire Them Up about how he took the lowest grossing office of Xerox and made it the number one in the world. And he had a very simple thing. He said, during the day, every single salesperson will be out with customers. No one will be allowed in the office during the day. If you have paperwork to do, you will do it before 8 in the morning and after 6 at night. During work time, I don't want anybody in this office. If you're in the office more than 3 times, I'll fire you. They said, well, that's not very nice. He had 32 salespeople working for him. 10 left. We don't have to take this. They walked out. The other 22 made it the best grossing office in Xerox in the world. And their sales all doubled and tripled. He said, most remarkable thing, if you spend more time face-to-face with people, you end up selling more stuff. Golly, that's really deep. We need a retreat on that one. We need to get some tom-toms and some fires and go and gaze at our navels. Is this simple? The great truths are simple. Spend more time face-to-face with prospects and you'll sell more. Number 11 is you require clear income and sales goals. You require clear income and sales goals in order to be a top performer, in order to use your time well. Broken down by year, month, day, and hour. So let's say we take our annual income goal. Let's say your annual income goal is $50,000. Well, for some people that would be an increase, for some that's a decrease, but let's use it as an example. And let's say your average sales, you get 5% on sales overall. Everybody, by the way, is on commission. Whether or not it's clearly defined, every single company pays people based on a specific percentage of sales volume. Whether it's bonuses and salaries and draws and everything else, it's still commission. So let's say that in order to make $50,000, you have to sell $1 million per year. Well, now you have your figures. Okay, but let's make it real simple. Let's take $50,000, let's divide it by the number of work days in a year, 250. That works out to about $200 a day. Let's divide it by the number of hours, 8, that you say you work. And it works out to 25. So now you have your hourly rate. We know as sure as God made little green apples that if you don't do $25 an hour work, you can't be paid $25 an hour. Nobody's going to pay you $25 an hour if you don't do the work. And we also know that you earn your annual salary an hour at a time. That's honesty. It is dishonesty to think that you can do zero or no value work and somehow end up getting paid $25 an hour for it. That's a con. And you don't want to get into that because it's very bad for your soul. And besides, you're not in politics. So now what do? Is we refuse to do anything that doesn't pay $25 an hour. We make a decision that from this moment forward, I will spend 8 hours every single day doing things that pay $25 an hour or more. Now, can you guess? This is a loaded question, rhetorical, because we've beaten this one to death. What are the three things that pay $25 an hour? Presenting and following up. Do we get $25 an hour for driving around, listening to the radio, talking to our friends on the cell phone, drinking coffee, reading the newspaper, shuffling our business cards, making our own photocopies, typing up our own proposal letters, coming late, leaving early, and spending an hour and a half for lunch? Do we get $25 an hour for these things? Then stop doing them. People think that nobody's looking. It doesn't matter if anybody's looking. What is the mark of the superior person? You're superior people. You're not average people. You're here. Superior people act as though everyone is looking, even when no one is looking. That's the mark of the superior person, is how they carry themselves when no one's looking. You see, children need to be supervised all the time. Adults don't need to be. Superior people don't need supervision. They place far higher standards on themselves than anybody else could place on them. They don't need anybody else to tell them what to do or to look at them because their own standards are too high. If their bosses came out with them, the bosses wouldn't be critical. The bosses would be asking them to slow down. You know, you're being just too demanding on yourself. I'm sure that's what your bosses would say. So, number 12, plan the activities necessary to achieve your goal. Plan the activities necessary to achieve your goals. Why? It's because activities are controllable. You cannot control where your next sale is coming from, but you can control the activities that you engage in hour by hour, which will lead ultimately to the sale. Are you with me so far? So if you make enough calls and enough proposals, enough presentations, enough follow-ups, ta-ta, 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 the sales will come out the other end of the pipeline. So control the activities every day, every day, every day. Hold your own feet to the fire. Plan your sales work geographically. Reduce traveling time. Why is it that people say, well, I'm working today, so I've got one client to see over in San Francisco, and then another one out there in Berkeley, and then I've got another one over here in Santa Clara, and then one down over there back in the downtown San Jose. Why is it that people plan their days like that? Fear of rejection. You're absolutely right, sir. They unconsciously plan their days so that they will spend as little time with people where rejection is possible. And another thing they do is they don't even call and confirm. They just drive all the way to Berkeley, hope that the person's there, and hope that they're not. Because if they're not there, they say, oh, geez, not here. Okay, well, I'll see you again. I'll drive out some other time. Only takes a couple of hours from where I live. What the heck? And all the way out and all the way back, I can tell myself that I've been working. Boy, I had a great day today. I was all over Northern California. Yeah, I didn't sell anything either. In other words, reduce traveling time. I know you do this anyway, but here's the rule. Your territory is your store. It is your business. It's your market area. Divide your territory into quadrants. Take a map and lay it out and work in one quadrant either each day or each half of each day. Refuse to jump in and out of your quadrant in half days. I worked with a woman once who started off. She had two children. She was divorced. She had to just about break the company's back to get them to hire her. They finally hired her. And she, because of her time constraints, she had to drop off her kids, pick up her kids. She had all kinds of things going on. She had to meticulously manage her time. She told me about this because she was a very successful businesswoman and one of the most respected politicians at that time. She was still practicing her work while she was in politics because it wasn't full time. She was a city councilor, but very highly respected, very interesting woman. She said she became the top salesperson in the entire company because of her territory management. She said she would never allow anybody to get her to move out of her territory. So she would cluster all of her calls within a small time period or small geographical area so that she would be moving all the time back and forth from one to the other, maximum face time. She said that made her the top in the country, just her discipline in organizing her territory. Think about doing that yourself. If it works for others, if it works for thousands of others, what are the chances that it might work for you? Right. Okay, number 14, upgrade your skills continually. Upgrade your skills continually. Get better at your key tasks. Get better at your key tasks. That's very important. Imagine your job is to put your life on an upward trend so that you are closing far more sales when you finally meet with prospects. You're getting far better appointments with far better prospects. Get better. Get good. Get better. Be the best. Get good. Get better. Be the best. Continuous personal and professional development is your key to the future. It's your key to the future. And here are the three keys, and I'll hammer them over and over again. Number one is read 1 hour per day. 1 hour per day will translate into roughly one book per week. One book per week will translate to roughly 50 books per year. 50 books per year will translate into 500 books in 10 years. At the very least, you'll need a bigger house just to hold your books. If you read 500 books in the next 10 years in a business where the average person reads less than one, you'll be one of the smartest and highest paid sales professionals in this country. And it doesn't matter whether you graduated from university or high school, nothing matters. If you read in the morning, 30 to 60 minutes, and you apply it during the day and review it in the evening for a few minutes. And every day, read a little bit, apply a little bit, review. Read, apply, review. Read, apply, review. I can promise you it will not take you 2 or 3 or 5 years, within 30 days, your career will have gone off like that. And I've never met anybody who has not come back and said, it's phenomenal what happens when you begin studying sales 1 hour per day. It's phenomenal. Now, B, in terms of professional development, is attend sales seminars 4 times a year. They just recently completed a study where they looked at salespeople and they analyzed the attitudes of the top 10% of salespeople. One of them, you know many of them already, but one of them is they are aggressive about continuous learning. They are not passive. They don't wait till the course comes along and hits them in the face. They're aggressive about it. They seek it out. They recognize that one idea is all you need. I was talking to the sales manager of a very successful company in Los Angeles recently, and he got one idea from one of my programs on how to turn a customer around and close a sale. He said it was perfect for his business. And so he began to practice it himself. In the first month, his sales more than tripled from what they were the month before. He was already very successful. So he taught his other salespeople the same technique. All their sales doubled in the following month. He said it was incredible. Just that one idea was worth, and I'll teach it to you, by the way, in the course of this seminar. It's one of the many ideas we'll talk about. He said it was incredible. It was worth a 300% increase in 1 month. He said, and double for everybody in my company. Just the one idea, because it was the right idea at the right time for our situation. So therefore, go to seminars, and go to seminars given by experts. Go to seminars given by people who really know their stuff. Go to seminars given by people who've really learned their craft in the street. Don't take cheap seminars from academics, because it's not that they're not nice people. It's just that they don't know anything about what they're talking about. And they will fill your head full of theoretical stuff that is perfectly true and totally useless. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I know, I've tried it all. People say, well, I'm going to save money. I'm going to pay $25 for a 14-week course at the community college. I have a question for you. Do you get what you pay for in life or not? That's right. And if you pay a little, you get a little. And remember, the critical thing is how fast you can apply this material to increase your income, not how much you get. But if you get 5 ounces of choice material and you pay $500 for it, it's better than getting 50 pounds of average material and paying $25 for it. The key is timeliness, relevancy, and immediate applicability. And C is listen to audio tapes in your car. This is so important because audio tape listening has made people into self-made millionaires, literally by the tens, if not the hundreds of thousands. People who did not have a lot of time to read or were not great readers have found just by audio tape listening, the average person here spends 500 to 1,000 hours in their car each year. That's 3 to 6 months of 40-hour weeks. That's 3 to 6 months of 40-hour weeks. That's the equivalent of 1 to 2 full-time university semesters. You can become one of the best educated and highest paid professionals in your field in America just listening to audio cassettes as you drive around. Just like the gentleman on Wednesday who said, I bought the one set of tapes and I added $70,000 to my income that year with one set of tapes. And the person next to him says, oh yeah, well, wouldn't apply to me. Oh my God. Oh my God. There's no help for these people. Anyway. Now, application exercise. Please write down one thing you're going to do differently as a result of what we've just talked about in time empowerment. Increasing your earning ability, using your time, getting better at your key tasks, focusing 80% of your time on new business development, creating and keeping customers, prospecting, presenting, and following up. One thing you're going to do differently that you have not been doing in the past. And sometimes a good way to write it is, I resolve that from now on, I, and write it in the present tense, from now on, I spend 80% of my time in new business development activities. I resolve. Always write it in the present tense. Not I will or I'm going to, but I do. And so if somebody were to ask you a month from now, how do you use your time? I spend 80% of my time in new business development activities. I read every morning before I start off. I listen to Brian Tracy audio programs in my car rather than the radio, because I'm serious about my future. All right, please stop and turn to your friend and tell your friend the one thing you're going to do differently. Put yourself on the line. Lay yourself out there.
This is the end of this disc. The program continues on the next CD.